Welcome to More Civil Societies with Eva Cox.
Do we need new economic futures, or do we need something else? This question really became clear to me in the last few days when I went to a workshop on what was called the Anthropocene and the future for the new Anthropocene. What principles it headed should underpin economic thinking in the radically changing conditions of the Anthropocene transition. After growth, reimagining economies for the Anthropocene. This was about 50-odd people that got dragged together in this particular workshop that's looking at the issues about what happens to the Anthropocene. The Anthropocene's a new word which deals with the fact that it's looking at the planet Earth, and it's looking at the fact that until the last few decades at least, the world changed because of things that were changing within the world. In a sense, we went through various stages of ice ages, of international stuff, of various other things. That we went through various stages, but that the world itself was changing, that the actual climates were changing because of things that were happening to the planet Earth. But probably, at least for the last couple of hundred years, there's been more of an influence from what we've been doing to Earth to what's been happening in the Earth itself, to what we've done to the Earth, to what we've done to the atmosphere, to the changes, to climate change that is actually created by human beings, and that is the Anthropos in the Anthropocene. And I think there's some serious questions about what are we doing to the planet. We know what we're doing to the planet. We're stuffing it with plastic bags. We're ruining the atmosphere. We're doing a lot of things which are damaging the climate and damaging our capacity to live on Earth. And this is a group of people that are actually involved in trying to work out what we do about it. The problem I had was that they wanted to reimagine the economies for the Anthropocene. So I raised the issue of why do we want to keep talking about the economy? And I didn't get very far because people seem to be locked into the idea that what drives the world is the economics. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that because I think economics is a very narrow way of looking at what's happening with the world, of looking at why the world is behaving in a way according to the discipline of economics. Now, economics is a social science. I'm a sociologist. Psychology is a social science. Political science is a social science. We all deal with human behavior and the capacity of us to predict human behavior. And the thing that drives most of the social sciences is assumptions about human beings. Are we self-interested, individualized people who actually are here to do a deal with other people to improve our personal lives? Or are we social beings connected with other beings and part of a more tribalized way of looking at the world, of being part of the world? And I think we are the latter, that we're social, we're interdependent, we relate to each other. We're not very good at doing things on our own. We've got this idea of the individual, which is actually a relatively new idea in Western views of the world, which really started with the Enlightenment and various other things, when we started looking at human behavior as something that sort of separated us out from the tribe, from being part of wider groups. But we are interdependent. We're children and dependent on other adults and on the social connections that we make, very much so, from a very early age. We can't develop an independent life. And yet, somehow along the way, we've slipped into a model of talking which fits into this discipline of economics. Now, economics, I acknowledge, is a very wide discipline. The word economics actually comes oikonomos, the Greek word for households. But we seem to have lost the household along the way. And what we're talking about mainly in economics, particularly the sort of economics that has been running the world for quite some time, is those things that we trade. It's a monetized version of who we are. It's a way of looking at who we are. And I think what we need to sort of start thinking about is that the model that we want to take into the future? Do we want to keep talking about those goods we trade? So there was a bit of discussion yesterday and generally about what is the thing that defines the quality of life that we have? Is it the material goods we have? Is it our access to money, to finance, to being able to buy things? Is it about stuff? Is it about things that we actually purchase? We purchase time. and we purchase all sorts of other things, but we also do a lot of things that are outside that model of trading. Gross domestic product, which is the thing that we quite often raise as one of the measures of growth and of well-being, actually only deals with those goods that we trade or the time that we trade. It actually doesn't count the things that we do for nothing. And as a feminist, as somebody who's very concerned about the social side, that worries me, it bugs me, because I can actually feel and know that much of what we do relates to how we feel about our relationships with other people. What counts is, do we feel good about who we are because we belong to particular groups, to tribes, to communities, to families, to neighbourhoods, to particular subgroups of people that have sets of beliefs in common, the people who live in certain areas? Do we, if we're going to be really basic about it, let's go back and have a look at, say, an Australian Indigenous version of what matters, where the relationship that they have to land, and this was being talked about quite a bit yesterday, is that we don't own the land to exploit it, to sell it, to use it, that the land owns us, which is why Indigenous people find country, the concept of country, something really important, because they have an obligation to country. They have an obligation to retain what's valuable in country. All of the dreaming, the ideas of the origin of the species relate to the way that people have been created by country. And that's a really important part of having a sense of why it's important to retain the value of country. And we've got 60,000 plus years of a history of people living comfortably with their country. And we've got 200 odd years of human beings actually changing country, of cultivating things, of changing the way we do things. And yet, if you take a look at the Industrial Revolution particularly, which came from England, we started changing things. That's when we started mass production. That's when we started moving production out of the household, out of the rural areas, into the city, and of actually making things happen that changed our relationship to land, to places like that. But underneath that all, there was still the community, the family, the sets of relationships that were informal, and yet they don't count in the economic stuff. So I went along yesterday to try and argue for the fact that we needed to put the unpaid, the relationships, the social side of the world much more clearly into the system. And the discipline of economics, however interpreted, just doesn't allow for that. It can count unpaid work. It sometimes does count it, but it sort of monetizes it. It says, oh, the amount of housework we do adds up to many hours per week, and if you actually took that at the hours that you would pay somebody to come into the household, it means that there's a whole other economy underneath that. But that's not the economy that we're counting. We're not counting the relationships that we have when we put out our neighbour's garbage bins or go and help take care of the kids down the park and make sure that they're enjoying the games that they're doing. It doesn't come because we help people in the neighbourhood or they help us. It doesn't come because we have relationships that we enjoy when we sit at the local coffee shop and have a conversation with people. The coffee we drink counts. The conversations don't. And yet in many ways it's those things that really count for having a good society. So my vision of the future is that we need to actually get back to the idea of what makes good societies, not what makes good economies. And yet people there were really stuck with the idea of the economy. So there I was listening to people talking about the economy and trying to change the conversation. So that's the start of it. There'll be more of this next week because I think it's important that we actually do redefine what we're talking about.
Eva Cox is a well-known sociologist and public feminist commentator with a long involvement in advocacy for more civil societies.